I just thought about a verse. I think it's in 3 John, and let's just go look at it real quick. 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Yesterday I was talking to somebody here, somebody's here this morning, and about how pleased I was with the things that they were talking to me about yesterday. Because it shows that God has been teaching them and growing them and opening their understanding, opening their hearts to receive the things that we're saying, not just so that they can repeat them so they know them in their head, but they're actually alive inside of them. And they're so alive, they want to share it with other people. They realize how important it is to share with other people how they need these basic things. And my daughter Jamie, one of them was praying, my daughter Jamie came to my mind. She's the only one who didn't really have to be seen by a doctor yesterday, and yet she has at least 2 infections, 3 infections in her body, and she asked me to pray for her this morning, you know. And she has a couple things that she goes, I'm a mess, you know. And then she wanted me to pray for my granddaughter who's in college, a soccer scholarship, and I prayed for her. This granddaughter asked me to. But I was thinking, and I told Jamie yesterday, I said, Jamie, you are a delight to your mother and I, because things that we've taught you, that we have been watching her grow by leaps and bounds in the Spirit. And God is just bringing her along of 2 things, repentance toward God and dependence on God. And she depends on God all the time. And she was talking about how things don't go always right, and it's easy to want to complain. She says, but what I have found is, and she's telling me this yesterday like she's teaching me. It was so cool. She goes, you know, she says, I find if I just adjust my attitude and realize that, like when Mom had that pain in her chest, she says, Mom, maybe God didn't want you to go be with Janiyah in the hospital. Maybe God had something else. Maybe you were going to get in an accident. There was an accident that happened. And she said, you got to look at whatever happens is for our good. And God's taking care of us. This is my daughter telling me this. And she's like, well, even when bad things happen to me, like I have to work late at work, she goes, I realize, okay, God's protecting me from something. There's a reason God has me here. And she says, and others around me just don't seem to see that. Do you know what? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, yes, we have 6 kids. Yes, we have 22 grandkids. Yes, we have 6 great-grandkids. But do you know that you are also our children? Do you know the Bible says you have many instructors, but you have one Father in the Spirit. And that's the person that God put in your life to help birth you into the kingdom of God. Okay? And that would be like, for me, would be like with Roxanne and Glenn, Steve, okay, having personally led them to the Lord, been instrumental in bringing them to Jesus. But then those of you, as God's put you here, I don't want to just be an instructor in your life. I want to be that which God wants me to be, as a father tenderly caring for his children to help you grow and nurture you up and love on you. Okay? That's what I want. Okay, I feel much better now. Yes, I do. All right, we looked up how many people, we did some homework this last week, okay? I love it. Whenever somebody does homework, their face all lights up, they start giggling, you know. And otherwise, when I say homework, you know, maybe it's time to leave. Okay, we looked up, how many of you looked up the word church? Okay, I see these raising their hand. How many of you looked up the word church, and maybe you looked up in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 33 that we talked about last week, and look up things about the church, okay? One of the things we talked about was that a question I asked was, what is a church? And what do you see the Bible teaching about church? Whenever you want to know about a word that God uses in the Bible, look up every form of that word in the Bible. And the very first time it's ever mentioned, there's something special there, okay? It's called the principle of first mention. I learned about it in Bible college, and it's like when something is mentioned the first time, there is a lot that God's wanting us to see right there. Because he's starting something, he's bringing something up that has never been brought up before in the scripture. That's why the book of Genesis is so important, because it's the book of beginnings. There's a whole lot of firsts in the book of Genesis, okay? Now, so we've got, Dana found that the word ecclesia talks about assembly. He found another thing, because I said, what other names or what other things does God call the church? And he found where it was called the house of God. And it's because it's a place where God dwells and a place where God wants us to come home. Because he said he wants us to know him as his Father. So then he calls it the house of God. And I said to somebody this week, I said, I remember I gave him a hug and then God gave me this thought. And I said, if we say we want to go to heaven, I said, what is heaven? And the person said, God's house. I said, what is church? And they said, God's house. And I said, how is somebody going to end up going to God's house in heaven if they don't want to be in God's house on this earth? Think about it. I don't want to hang out with you, God. But when I die, now I want to come hang out with you. I don't want anything to do with you on this earth. And God's like, nope, you didn't want me. Can't let you in. That's why it says many are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? And he's going to say, but I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. If you want to look that up sometime, okay? God wants to build us. That's what church is about. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, and if you start with verse 11 and go through verse 16, I think it's in verse 12, it talks about being built. And then verse 16 also talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Very good. Sometimes church is a circus. That's why we try to bring it in order. And we sure have a lot of clowns around here, I tell you. So, you know, and acrobats jumping around and dodging. Okay. All right, we read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. If you didn't do that this week, then write it down and let's do it this next week. Because you know what? When I met Christ as a drug dealer, I figured everything I knew before that did not do me any good. Everything I had learned in church had not done me any good. It was just knowledge. When you remember going through high school, and you heard yourself say, or somebody else in your class, why are we learning geometry? How is this ever going to help me? Why are we having to learn about history? How am I ever going to use this in my life? Okay? So, why are we learning what we're learning here? Why are we learning? How is this going to benefit our life? What are we learning? He just talked about us being built, God's assembly line. He talked about us gathering. She talked about how to gather in a circle. It's not like one is ahead, you know, and better like in the world where you got some big shot and everybody else is, you know, got John Wayne and everybody else serves John Wayne. It's not like that. It's like there's one head and he's Christ and we're circled around him. We're wanting to follow him. Other words or other names for the church. One of them is the body of Christ. Now, why would a church be called the body of Christ? He said that it's got basically many members. Our bodies have many members. Your whole body is not an ear. Your whole body is not a foot. Now, some people for a long time thought my whole body was a mouth, but actually it's not. I've got other members. I have to have feet and hands and a little brain, you know. Did you ever think about God's plan? He made us in His image, and then He calls the church, now think about this, Don, the body of Christ, and then take what he just said, God has a plan or a purpose for the church, and it's made up of people that each one uniquely are different members of the body of Christ, so it's to fulfill His plan or purpose or His life. Therefore, He wants to live through us. But we need to come into unity. No schisms, no arguing, no fighting, you know. And we need to work together to release the life of Christ. To do what God, He created bodies. Which is a little picture of this bigger picture, which is the body of Christ. And then he put these on the bottom shelf for us, Dana, so we could all relate to that and understand, wow, it's the body of Christ. And we have bodies, and if my foot isn't working and I'm dragging it, we started our first church down in Texas. We had a guy that he and his wife, when they came to our church, his whole side was paralyzed, so he had to drag his body all the time, okay? His body wasn't working on this side. What I'm saying to you is God is wanting us to all be functioning and allowing God to live through us to bring forth His life. That's what church is about. It's not about coming together on Sunday and we all killed a big one because we gave God an hour or two and we go home feeling good. There's more to it. It's about us releasing the life of God. Us releasing. And it starts with us meeting God, being born again, us submitting to God. There's baptism, church attendance, us surrendering to God and letting God live His life. And as this brother said, remold us, put us on the assembly line, remove what's the stuff that's not good, the stuff that doesn't function so well in our lives, replace it with truth. There's reasons that God calls the church different things. That's why it's important that we go where God wants us to be. He may say, over here, they're in need of a foot, and you're a foot in the body of Christ. So He wants to put you over here. But you say, no, I want to go over here. Well, He doesn't need a centipede. They've already got 99 feet over here. Okay? He doesn't need a centipede. Okay? What He needs is us to be. And then when we go where He wants, we get the things that He wants us to get from that place. What's amazed, how do I want to say this, or do I even want to say it? When people will call us, because they don't come to church, and then they call us and say, tell me what happened. My answer is always the same. God. Yeah, but tell me exactly what happened. I said, how can I tell you what happened? I said, you needed to be here so that you could, at the feeding hole that God has for you, so you could get what you needed. You needed to be here to participate, become part of this body. And that way, you're going to get what you need. That's why when we got to be careful about feeding other places, because, yeah, it may sound good and whatever, but is it where God placed you? You got to be where God's placed you so that you can be a functioning part, just like Glenn too said, to be a functioning part, to be that other toe, that other finger, that other arm, okay? But also so that we can receive the things that we need, because God is giving forth what we need every Sunday, every time that we meet. God moves on the speaker to give them things that we need. That's why when we come, one thing that we need to do that God taught me 30-something years ago was to pay attention on purpose. Listen as if my life depended on it, because it does. Because if I miss something, then I might exist through the week, but I don't live through the week by walking with Jesus. You know what I mean? I might not drown, but I'm struggling through the week because I didn't get the thing that I needed. I just told somebody this morning, that a lady that was with my daughter for this meeting at the DeVos Center, she was talking about, I said, since the last time you were here, I said, have you been planted in a church? She said, well, I haven't been planted, but I've been going more than I was before I came here last time. I said, well, good. I said, now let's get planted. Let's find out where God wants you to be so that you can grow and your son can grow, you know, and begin to develop in God, like what he was saying. Find out where God wants you to be. Have you ever, I used to be a tool maker. I've done a lot of different things. I was a mortgage officer and whatever. Have you ever, you're doing something and it's not working and you just return to basics and then it works? Have you ever done that? Because what we do is we keep trying to tweak it and make it better. Well, what we do is we're actually, see, this used to be a square table. But somebody sitting at this table, they just kept cutting corners, and now they're just going in circles. See what I'm saying?
Right.
When you cut corners, you go in circles. One time God wanted me to go to a church, and I didn't want to go there. I went there, and I didn't like it. And we weren't the leader. And I said, I'm going to go find a different church. So I went to this other church. God shows up. They're having church. And I could not get in it. I was miserable. And I said, what is wrong, Lord? And he said, this isn't where I want you. I said, but I don't want to. I said, where do you want me? He said, that other place. I don't want to go back there. And he basically said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? You know? He says, I got a cattle prod. I'm trying to get you in a place. He says, you could just go by me telling you, but otherwise I could use a cattle prod and get you there. Maybe throw a little electric in it, you know. He said, or you could just follow. God's way works every time, and it's so simple. I love it that he puts the cookies on the bottom shelf so anybody can get a hold of it. Do you know that we either obey or we disobey? In anything, what we used to teach our kids, of course we got six kids, we used to teach our kids, obedience is, I had them all memorize it, would have them say it back to me all the time. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Any part of that missing is disobedience. But I did what you told me. Yeah, but you didn't do it when I told you. You said, when this TV show's done. And I'm like, no, not when the TV show's done, now. Obedience is doing, well, I did what you told me. Yeah, but look at your attitude. You know, obedience with a bad attitude is disobedience. You follow me? So we either are obeying or disobeying. And somebody said a minute ago, but that's so simple. Do you know something? I made straight A's in college. I'm a pretty smart little guy. Okay, they tell me, you know, an IQ and all that stuff. Who cares? My best day, if God had a bad day, my best day wouldn't compare. He's smarter than I am. I don't need to improve or change or tweak what God says. I just simply need to submit. Follow. Does that make sense? You know, when I was a drug dealer, I was a rebel. Then I met Jesus, and I became one of his children, okay? Now, who am I going to serve? Who am I going to follow? Because every minute of every day, we are following somebody. Who is the Lord of our life? Who's calling the shots? In every decision, every conversation, who are we following? God says, what I've got for you, that's coming, you can't even imagine. And that means when people mess up, We keep loving them as long as they need to help bring it. No! I don't always like my customers, but I choose to love them. I pray for them, but I don't always like them. There's some of them I just do not like. Kind of like our lives. Each one of them is a photograph in itself or a movie in itself. But when you put them all together and you back up from it, you can see Christ. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
For others to see Christ in us. See, we exclude people. They don't dress like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. But God wants to include us. God wants us to include people. Have we ever thought about how God feels? Why does He sit back and wait? Because is He waiting for us to cooperate? And while He waits, He's kind about it, isn't He? Remember in the Bible where that person was invited to come to a marriage supper? And he shows up and he looks around and he wants to go sit at the head table. And then the one that was the head of the banquet came to him and said, "That's not your place. There's somebody here that place is for, and now you need to go take a lower place." Well, wouldn't it be neat, because the kingdom of God is always about humility. God is a God of humility. When we first got in church, and the preacher would say, "I need a volunteer," for 20 years, I never waited until he said what he needed a volunteer for. I always raised my hand. You know why? And so I would clean toilets, and my family always showed up at work day when no other family did. We had a church of 250 and nobody else would show up but my family and the preacher or whoever, you know what I'm saying, was heading the work day. My point is when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And we need to find our position. Not just what's exciting, what we like, but where does God want us to be? Because that will fulfill. That it wouldn't be any good to be the arm if you weren't prepared to first learn how to be a finger and what you got to do there to grow. You got to go through first grade before you can go through third grade, because otherwise you're not prepared. And so God starts us at the bottom and He promotes. But it's us we need. There's certain things we need to learn before we can go forward. And what God wants to do is to help us with every area of our life in every day. Jesus Christ is our answer. But we need to find Him, because He wants... It's not just we do church on Sunday and okay, you know, everything's fine. It's God's like, "No, I care about going with you when you go to court. I care about being with you when you're in pain. I care about," He says, "I'm your answer when you have questions, when people rejected you, when you're hurting." He says, "I'm here." And He says, "But I need you to include me, because I have a plan to include you." But He allows us. I'll never forget when God said to me, "Harvey, I limit myself by giving everybody a free will." I said, "But Lord, they're making all the wrong choices, these people I was praying for." I said, "But Lord, they're making all the wrong choices." And He said, "But you have to give them a free will just like I do. You have to let them." Because see, I was a manipulating person. Boy, I can put guilt, burden, manipulation, and pressure on you in a heartbeat. Okay? And God was like, "Harv, you can't do that. You got to love them into truth." I remember something else. I remember being in a church one time where God didn't want me to be. And I said, "God, what is wrong?" And He said to me, "Why are you here?" I said, "Because I was hoping you would let me come here." And he said, "What did I tell you?" I said, "You told me not to come." And He said this. He said, "Can you improve on what I said?" Why do we try to improve on what God says? Why don't we just submit and do what He says? Because His way works. Please, if you write stuff down, write these three words. God's way works. Every single time. I'm going to tell you again. I know you've heard this, but I'm going to tell you again. When I got saved as a drug dealer, I said all the things I knew about God did not help me up to this point. And I would have gone to hell. So what I'm going to do is everything I think I know, all the stuff I made straight A's in school, all the stuff I think I know, I'm willing to lay it all down at Jesus' feet and start all over and pick up the Word of God and say, you teach me as if I knew absolutely nothing. I have a blank chalkboard. As a little child. Just start me over. Because I said, when I would look at my parents, they don't know how to live. When I look at friends, they don't know how to live. When I look at most people, most marriages in America end up in divorce. I don't want to be like that. How do I do it your way, God? And he said, well, we got to start at the bottom. We got to build a foundation. And that foundation starts with Jesus. And immediately, it's church. Because in church, you're going to be with other people that are like-minded, like-hungered. They want the same thing. You know, they're after God. They're after truth. But there's a lot of lies, a lot of things that we believe that are not true. But we think they're true. We feel they're true. Just because you feel they're true, does that make them true? You walk in a room and there's a lot of people and you feel, are they all going to look at me? Are they all going to like me? Does that make it true? And realize that God wants to take the lies one step at a time and replace the lie. He brings the lie to the surface and says, now, are you willing to let go of the lie so you can get the truth? Because the truth will set you free. This lie keeps you in bondage. It keeps you in fear. It keeps you powerless. It makes you feel guilty. You can't look people in the eyes. You can't sleep at night. You need drugs to go to sleep. See what I'm saying? My dad used to say when we were growing up, he would say this. What I'm about to say stays at this table. But he taught us stuff as I was growing up. How to be a good worker. How to obey. How to honor my teachers. All of this stuff that I watched my friends not have those things in their life. But it took growing up in that home and being there all the time and hearing it over and over and over again to learn it. Faithfulness in church. Just what I see. Family. Truth. An assembly. An assembly line. Whoever said that, I don't remember. God rebuilding us. What are other names God calls church? Why? What is God teaching us through this passage about church? What is God teaching us? Because I didn't hear anybody bring up the main thing he's teaching in that passage. I didn't hear anybody bring that up today. So you've still got something undiscovered, okay? And why does he say that? And then look up the word church. In the Bible, there's 118 times. It starts with Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Okay? I believe it's about verse 17 where he mentions it. But the passage starts at verse 13, Matthew 16. And just read verses about church. Like, look them up in the concordance. If you need help on that, see Pastor Glenn, Pastor Roxanne, myself, Brother Nate. We'll help you with that. And just see, what does God say about church? Because church isn't just a building. Church isn't just something we all come to see what everybody else is wearing. Church isn't a circus where we come and we all stand, sit, kneel, sing. It's not a production. It's the body of Christ. It's the house of God. It's the family of God. There's a purpose. And it's the body of Christ. Yes, sir. It's the life of God. It's how He works. When people tell me that they walk with God, but they don't need to go to church, I'm like, where is that in the Bible? There's not lone wolves. God, would you show me your value for church? Ask God, God, what am I blind to that you want me to see? List out the reasons why God called church other things than church. Why did he call it a family? Have you ever been to my house? When you've come to my house, you know what a lot of people say when they come to my house? They say, and we've heard this for years, people say, wow, it's so peaceful here. Wow, it feels the presence of God is here. Wow, I feel like I'm safe. I hear all these type things. Can you imagine? I don't know what kind of family you grew up in, but my family, I couldn't say that about. Now, I love my mom and dad, okay? But that's not what my house was like. There was arguing. There was fighting. There was contention. Imagine if your house was always peaceful, filled with the glory, the love, the light of God. What if at home, you went home, you were looking forward to going home because there you know that you're accepted. There you know people believe in you. There you know people want the same thing you want, which is Jesus and truth and light and love and kindness and peace. What if your house was like that? Now, I'm not saying we're perfect or anything. I'm just trying to tell you that my wife and I made a decision. My wife had been married before she met me. She was married to a cop. She got saved. And for 5 years, she tried to make that thing work. She kept asking the church and the preacher, what do I do? He beats the kids. He lies. He doesn't pay the bills. He does all these things. And all they would say to her is, just pray about it. Well, if you come and talk to me, I'm not going to just tell you to just pray about it. I'm going to probably go and talk to that person. Well, I'm going to pray for them, but then I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to get in their face, not in a way to hurt them, but in a way to confront them, to help get them delivered. People act like that. Are you listening? This is on the test now. Are you listening? Okay. People act like that because they're hurting. People act like that because somebody's hurt them. People act like that because they don't know how else to act. And so when I say I'm going to get in their face, I'm going to go get in their face with love. But I'm going to get in their face, and I'm going to let them know I care about you, and I want to help you. But there's times that God will have me get in people's face, and then he says, now back off and give them time to make choices. Because people could say all the right words, it doesn't mean anything. Our actions prove what we really believe. You know what I'm saying? People give lip service, but it ain't really true. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So let me give you a thought. When God calls church in the Bible, one of the places he calls it a family, the family of God. So what is his idea of family? Where people believe in you, where you have a structure, you have somebody who's in charge, but that person is caring about you. They're doing things for your good, but they believe in you. They protect you. They provide for you. Do you get what I'm saying? So why is God called church family? Like love one another, like believe in each other. Like, wouldn't it be neat? Somebody came here not long ago. Well, they come all the time. Today they must be sick or something because they're normally here every time doors are open. And something was said or something, and my wife said to them, well, why don't you go somewhere else? Because he was kind of complaining about something. I don't know. And she says, why don't you go somewhere else? And he says, I can't go anywhere else. I've never been loved like I am here. And I've heard that from a few of you that stay painstakingly. Okay? Because that's what it's supposed to be, is a house of love. Now, love isn't just this syrupy little Democrat thing, you know, where we throw money at a problem. I'm sorry, that's not love. Love is doing what's best. Tell me if I'm right when I get done. If you got different thoughts or want to challenge what I'm saying, please raise your hand. I mean, if your name's Carrie, whatever it is, could be. Okay, Carly. Okay, you ready? All right, are you ready? You know what I'm saying, Shelby? Okay, here we go. It goes like this. Love is doing what's best for another in the long run, no matter their response, even to the laying down of your own life, if that's what's necessary. Now, what I'm saying is, that's the kind of love. Love is telling somebody the truth, not telling them what they want to hear, and then talking about them behind their back, or stabbing them in the back, or thinking things. And no. But that doesn't mean just because it's the truth, you have to go and spill it on them, okay? Or spew it on them. What it means is, you don't want to lie to somebody. But Sue used to say, Harvey, she put on a dress. Harvey, what do you think? And I said, do you want to know? She goes, yeah, what do you think? I said, it's ugly. Don't ask me if you don't want to know. I'm not. That went over really well, kind of like a screen door in a submarine. You know what I'm saying? It was just, that thing didn't float. Okay? So I said, okay, Lord, what do I do different? You know, Sue has this habit. When she goes to make food, she invents something. Okay? I don't always like her inventions. And why do I have to miss a meal because she wanted to invent something? You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy eating. Does anybody can say I can resemble that? Okay, now. So Sue would do these inventions. And then she would say, what do you think? So what I learned to say was, it's different. Okay? Now, she knows if I say it's different, it's because I don't like it. But I'll say that as we travel around the country, people are like, here, Pastor, I want you to eat this. And, you know, what do you think? It's different. My wife's over there. I see her cracking a smile. She knows I don't like it, you know. Okay, so what is church? We talked about that in Sunday school. I want you to write down, like, why did he call it Ecclesia? Why did he call that? Actually, that's the two Greek words put together, a called out assembly, ecclesia. Okay? But why did he call it a family? Why did he call it the house of God? Why did he call it that? It's going to take us somewhere. Okay? Jesus, you are incredible. And Jesus, whatever anybody else says, the reason each one of us is here today began with you. And it's going to end with you. And you are worth everything. Thank you for including us and allowing us to be a part of your life. Thank you that in your plan you included us. Lord, help us to enter into and include you. We love you, Jesus. Nobody like you. Thank you for loving us first. You're awesome. Amen.